I'm back on. Are we here? We good? I want to take a few moments just to celebrate mums and share what the word really means, what they think about mums, because it's a powerful, powerful thing. Amen. Announcements? Got some. Ladies' dinner, Friday the 21st. Is this another one? Dear Lord Jesus. Friday the 21st of May at 6 p.m. at Kingsway Bar and Bistro. They must be making a fortune out of you girls. 211 Kingsway Dutch. All right. 6 p.m. Kingsway Bistro, Friday night. Okay. So all right. I'll write that in my diary. Epic Youth Semester 1, 2021. 25th of June. It's all over. It's done. Epic Youth is starting again this Friday. All right. Epic Youth done again. So at the end of the service, gentlemen, can we just pick up the chairs? That would be great. And we get Epic Youth. Mission Sunday, the 16th of May. Please do not forget that. Mission Sunday, the 16th of May. And also, please do not forget to pray for the people of the church in Burma. They're really going through a lot at the moment. They're going through a lot of persecution. We need to keep them because they are having lots of secret meetings with the militia unaware of what's happening. It's quite a dangerous place right now, but they're believing God for the breakthrough. Amen. So we need to be behind them as well in the midst of their battle. Amen. 16th of May. And that is the end of our notices. Amen. I have 4 slides, which is a miracle for me. I've given you 1 slide, the first one, with all the scriptures. So you can just take a quick photo, and then we can keep moving on. Because I need to talk for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. All right. We understand that everything that is precious on the earth, whether it's made of gold or silver or diamonds or whatever, is fashioned by hand. Someone's hands made it. Someone's hands molded it. Hands shaped it. Amen. If you're into jewelry, someone's made that. The concept out of their mind became something in their hands and they made it. All right, as much as made you, as much as God made the earth, first of all, he thought it. Out of his thought process, he spoke it. And with his hands, he produced it, which is you. Amen. And same as the mother's love, same as the role of a mum. She speaks it. She molds it. That which is precious to her, shapes it for the glory of God. But in the process of doing all that, making, there's usually some hurdles that happen in life. Amen. It's like Jesus, the Father made the man which became his child, so a mother makes the child to follow a man called Jesus. Amen. And I want to talk about that sort of woman this morning. Every child is a gift. Every child is precious. Sometimes when they're acting up, they're not as precious as other times. But they're always precious. And in the molding and shaping, just like you and I get molded and shaped by God, sometimes we arc. Anyone ever arced? Everyone ever bucked the trend? Anyone just said, oh God, that's enough? Well, sometimes you're the same thing. Not verbally, because they're going to get a little hand of love on their seat of correction. But they sometimes have their little protests. Amen? You're saying, they do. And as they get a little bit older, the protests usually get a bit louder. But that's the course of life. And in the midst of the course of life, they forever remain precious and a work of God. Amen. So as a baby, as a young child, we forever speak into the mothers, forever speak into their lives. The mothers are forever shaping their lives, and as the child gets older or more mature, they no longer are shaping their lives by the hand of correction. They're shaping their lives by words and prayer. Amen. So like the Lord, the mothers shape their children. This beautiful, precious life needs shaping. Mothers see what others don't. the potential, the abilities, the heart, the others don't necessarily see. They speak it out unashamed, unabashed by what others might even be thinking or saying against them. A mother protective. A mother will defend no matter what. A mother will defend when the child's even wrong and then sort it out later. But she will not have her child attacked. She won't. As much as a spiritual mum won't. A natural mum won't. And she will sort it out later. One of the wisest man in the world at the time was a man called Solomon. You'll read that in the scriptures I've shown you. Solomon, 1 Kings, Solomon was declared the wisest man. And he left us some proverbs to understand. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, tells them to be obedient to the father, all right, and hang the laws of their mother around their neck. The laws of their mother. And this is very important for children to be able to do. Hang the laws of their mother around their neck, because the laws of is actually direction. How to act, how to behave. The mother's laws, and when we say laws, it's not like, do this or you die. It's the laws of that where you're showing them the limit of things, all right? And you're showing them what they should value, all right? Principles of God. And as the child is young, we establish principles of God with boundaries. Amen? And that's exactly what the law does, because if you break the law, you've actually went across the boundary of the law, and there is a consequence for breaking the boundary. Amen? That's imperative in a house, a Christian home, that there should be rules of the house. I call them rules of the house, but literally they are the laws of their mother. You don't do this, Dad does that. Amen. You say this, and when they ask, this is usually the response. Wait till your father gets. Amen. I remember as a young man, around 8 or 9 year old, this is how much it's affected me. I still remember that age. I was on a bus, an old English bus, back seats at the back, and they're bench seats. If you remember a double-decker bus, they're bench seats at the back. I jumped on because I used to love jumping on the bus. I used to purposely jump on when it's just rolling away because I thought it was good. And I jumped on, my dad sat next to me, and this little lady, the bus stopped, and this little lady, elderly lady, she's probably about 40 when I was 8, but she was elderly then. Well, when you're 8, 40's old. Serious, I mean 12 when you're 8. You know what I mean? I mean, you're talking months when you're 8. I'm 8 and a quarter. Or I'm 9, 8 and a half. You know what I mean? We always want to be older than what we are. And then my dad jumps up, helps us when we get up the step, then on the seat. Then he clips me across the ear. Hard. I said, what have I done? He says, you weren't quick enough. I'm serious. These are the principles that stay with you for life. Amen. When I got in a fight one day at school, and I was in fisticuffs, I was all proud because I won. I came home, I was a bit bloody, and shirt was torn. But I didn't care about the shirt. Actually, it was like a trophy for me. Shirt was torn. Walks in, my mum, whack! What's that? She says to me, she goes, you've been fighting. I've taught you better than that. There is always someone with bigger hands. So I didn't do that anymore. Well, I didn't tell her. Because that was the law. Amen? But Solomon gave wisdom, and he wanted the children to understand that these laws or principles of the mother must flow through the children, because they're their soul. The father reinforces them and also gives wisdom to them. And so he has to listen to father and mother. But mother is the one that established the rules of the house. In fact, Proverbs 31, 24, 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household. She's watching all the time. She's watching him, the husband, all the time. She's watching the kids all the time. She's watching what's happening in the household all the time. She's watching who he's speaking to and how he's behaving and who he's hanging around with all the time. Amen. Women in this household. Now I want to share with some women that watched over their households and watched over their children quickly in the Bible. I'm going to talk about four women. All right. Women like Sarah. Women like Sarah, who in her household being in confusion when there was a young man called Ishmael in the house. She wouldn't allow trouble to stay in the house, and she removed the trouble. She removed her son was being affected by. She wouldn't let them have relationship while there was trouble in the house. The father was confused. God said to the father, listen to your wife, Sarah, and do as she says. Amen. Because sometimes us men get in a place of confusion. We really don't know what to do. We act like we know what we're doing. Sometimes we really don't know what we're doing at all. At all. So we try and fake it until we make it. They actually do, because they watch everything. They know everything. They're Holy Ghost Junior. They even know your thoughts and intents before you've thought it. And they tell you what you're thinking. Sometimes they're right, but a lot of times they're not actually right. But we don't say anything. But then let's get back to Sarah. Sarah asked, and the Lord said, listen to your wife, right, and do as she says. Because the wife will not allow the child, or the mother will not allow the child to be robbed of the promises of God. It's imperative that, and mothers I know do this, that they watch over whom they are interacting with. Amen? Because all they might be, anyway, they interact, making sure who they're interacting with all the time. Sometimes children don't understand that. And I don't expect an 8-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old to understand that. All they've got to do is wear the necklace of their mother and be obedient. Amen? And so it's taught. Women like Rebecca, when Haran perceived, she instructed her son Jacob to leave. In other words, she wouldn't allow him to stay in a harmful situation. She said, get out. Go to your uncle Laban, get out. And so she was prepared to allow herself to grieve, as a mother would have, grieved when he left, but knowing that the benefit of the grief would benefit him in his life. Amen? And so when she allowed him to leave, something happened to Jacob. Something happened to Jacob. Or what was happening in her house, she discerned what was happening in her house, then she acted. But what happened then was he listened, he obeyed, and he was changed. Amen. She saw, she discerned, she acted. That's exactly what mums do. And sometimes the child does not understand it. Sometimes the child will have to step out by faith. But if he's got the relationship with the mother, come on now, if they've got relationship with their mum, there's a trust built. And guess what? Guess where Isaac was always found? In his mother's tent. And some people say, oh, he was a mummy's boy. Well, he was a mummy's boy. But what he was learning was the principles or the laws of his mother to live by for life. To live by for life. Jacob was a good cook. Esau's birthright for a bowl of stew. Jacob was a good cook. Where did he learn cooking from? His mum. Amen? No, you learned a little bit. But anyway, can you understand what I'm saying? There's principles that the mother leaves behind to impose upon their child. So it's not just for the now moment. It is something that will anchor them for life. Values, morality, amen, will anchor them for life. Convictions will anchor them for life. Amen. And it's something that we impose on them. And as they grow, they might wander. So what we become is a word to them of encouragement and exhortation. That's what the mother usually does. And then she becomes a prayer warrior. She starts to intercede on it, and the child doesn't even know what's happening. But they just begin to pray. They begin to pray. Just like a woman, Hannah began to pray. She's the next one, I believe. Hannah began to pray. Hannah began to pray. Barren. Deborah was the next one. We're going to talk about Hannah. I'll talk about Deborah in a minute. Hannah began to pray because she was barren. Amen. Her husband got quite upset because her husband comes up to the wife and says, "Aren't I better than 10 sons?" But you see, nowhere does the son Elkanah, does the father ever begin to pray with his wife. He knew her need. He knew her weeping. But being a typical man, "But I do this for you. I do that for you. Can't you see what I'm doing for you?" But her grief. But nowhere did the man get into a position in his spiritual walk to begin to pray with her. Amen. So sometimes the wife in her weeping stage really need to know that I've bought her a house or I bought her a car. I'll go, "Hey, here's $50 and go and buy a dress." She doesn't really need to hear that. In the midst of the dilemma in her spirit, what she needs is a husband to draw near to her, sometimes not say a word and just pray. Just pray. And Hannah was the sort of woman that no matter what was happening, year in and year out, she went to the temple. Year in and year out, she cried out to God. Year in and year out, she was teased. Year in and year out, her husband kept saying to her how good he was. We have an issue, us men. We like to say how good we are. But all the time, all she wanted was a man to come and kneel beside her. I hold her hand and say, "Let's pray. Let's pray." Amen. And all of a sudden, out of her pain, years later, it said that God had shut up her womb. All of a sudden, God heard her prayer. It was a time for God to bring forth his promise so he could affect the nation. He brought forth, amen, and she birthed the promise. In the midst of her barren and her pain, she was showing herself faithful. And that's what mums do, people. Mums keep showing themselves faithful. Amen. Women like Deborah, a prophetess, a judge in Israel, who said, I can't remember his name, Barak, who said to Barak, "Go forth, get an army, and pull down the heights of the land." He said, "I won't go unless you come with me." Now, I'm going to defend him here. He wasn't doubting the word of God, because he still went. What he was doubting was, would it be fulfilled? Would I have the courage to do this? She became the courage in the midst of the battle. She said, "I'll come, but you won't get any glory out of this." Amen. So she went. And I want to tell you something. Deborah was a prophetess, but she was also a judge for a whole nation. She saw over the house. Amen. And that's exactly what mums do all the time. So when mum reacts, dads, husbands, sometimes we need to take back and try and see what they're seeing and try and hear what they're hearing and try and understand the perception of what they're perceiving. Amen. And as men have an ear to hear, because I could be in this place of confusion and not knowing what to do. Hello, Abraham. Because something might be so close to me that shouldn't. Are you with me? Like Mary, who says in Luke 2 that it says she kept this thing close to her heart. Because the shepherds came and told them what they saw, and spoke, the angel declared that he would be a savior and he is the Son of God. And she kept it close to her heart. They were rejoicing because the Savior was born. That means they were going to get delivered. She never rejoiced. She took it to heart because she knew what he was going to suffer. All Jews knew that the Savior was coming. All Jews would have understood that he would have to hang on a cross and he would have to die. He'd have to shed his blood. Was, my child's got to go through this. Their heart was, fantastic, I'm going to get something. And sometimes that's a mother's love is so great. And to quickly turn with me to Song of Solomon, we're going to read a few verses. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 2, it says, I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother. It's talking about the Shulamite woman and her lover. It's talking about Christ and the church. It's talking about Christ and Israel. She who to instruct me, I will cause you to drink of the spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. Where did the Shulamite woman bring her lover? To the house of the mother. Amen. His left hand is under my head and embraces me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, do not stir or nor awaken love until it pleases. That's a good one for youth. That's a good one for everyone. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning into her? I awakened under the apple tree where your mother brought forth, where she bore you and brought you forth. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as what? Death. It is as cruel as the grave. Its flames are a flame of fire, a vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love. It doesn't matter what the deluge of accusation or whatever's happening in the life, it will never separate the love of a mother from the child. Them love them regardless, in season, out of season, upside down, inside out, whether they're doing the right thing, whether they're doing the wrong thing, whether they're in the church, whether they're out of the church, it doesn't matter. The mother's love will never change. Nor floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. This sort of love you cannot buy. This sort of love you cannot buy. Love is God-given. This love sees beyond the physical, the lack, the hopelessness of a situation. This love looks at the inner man and the potential and the words she spoke over him, prayers she's prayed for him, and the love she shares for him. This is the love of a mother. Amen. And we've all got one. Some are with us, some are not. But I'm going to tell you what is with you. What is with you is the laws that she's placed in your life that she wants you to pass down. The integrity, the honor, the values, the seeking of God first, teaching them a prayer life. And sometimes one of the greatest griefs of a mother, because she doesn't see what she perceives she's going to see yet. And like Hannah, all God wants us to do is stay faithful. Stay faithful. Keep your prayer. Even when Elkanah didn't pray with her, she still kept on praying. Amen. And guess what happened? She birthed the promise. Amen. Ladies, you've been given one of the greatest gifts. Whether you have children or don't have children, you are either a physical mum or a spiritual mum to someone. And if you are a little younger than that and you haven't been married and you haven't got children, you will be a mum one day. But God wants to adorn you with a necklace. So their necklace. When they walk into the community, they see their value system upon their hearts. Amen. That they're a man of character or a woman of character, integrity, honesty, love, forgiveness, mercy, gentleness, compassion, truthfulness, all the necklace, are really the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. And you and I, more so you, ladies, have been given the ability to weave a tapestry. Hallelujah. Why, us men hold your hand and pray with you. Amen. And uphold the values of the house above anything else. Praise the Lord. So I want to say this morning, ladies, we commend you. We honor you. We appreciate you. And I'm going to chuck this one in for free. We hear you. I'm serious. You know, one of the greatest in ladies' life is this. They do not talk to me. We don't communicate. Most men, not all men, some men are fantastic communicators, but a lot of men, this is their communication. Uh-huh. Yeah. Can I have that? Thanks. Love ya. At the end of the day. Love ya. Because there's a hope. He doesn't want to defer it at night, you see. Love ya. Love ya. Wasn't it a great day? Eh? And she's like, he said his 1,000 words. She's probably communicated over 3,000 words for the day. And she's waiting for feedback. All he wants is to be fed. He wants the feed. He doesn't want anything else. But we have to learn to communicate. And some men say, "Pretty hard." Well, where did the woman come from? Where did God go to get the woman? From the man. So, I think she is in you.